As you and I read through our Bibles, there are many different words that will every now and again be there for us to read, and they will take our attention, and we will, maybe the word war, you have come across that before, and maybe you've studied war in the Bible, or the word, even the word death, and the word life. Think of the word love, and all of those words that mean very many different things to us. But there is a word that I think is interesting for all of us, and it is the word happy, or blessed. And in the Bible, those words are very often interchangeable. Sometimes the original word is translated blessed, as it does in Psalm 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word blessed there means the happinesses of, and they are interchangeable on many different occasions. Happy or blessed. We're all interested in that. Well, the name Asher that we've read about, the head of one of the tribe of Asher here, Asher means blessed or happy. And while what we're reading this morning is what is going to happen regarding Asher in the days that would lie ahead when the message was originally delivered to them, there's always a message for us, whether it is as a church or an individual person. Now, Asher as a tribe, as you read Numbers 26, they had seen tremendous growth. 53,400 of them when you come to Numbers chapter 26. And whatever you're involved in, whether it is some kind of a sports supporters club, whether it is congregation, or in their case, a tribe, hopefully additions will bring blessing or happiness. Now, we know that that's not always the case. And whether it is church or an organization or something that you may be involved in regarding sport, you know that sometimes that addition does not bring blessing and happiness. But we always hope that it does do that. You remember Eli. Eli wasn't a perfect man by any stretch, and when Hannah was praying, he got it all wrong. But Eli's sons brought great grief to him, and great grief to the people around them. But it is a great thing. And of course we are in a church setting. It is a great thing in a church when a church is blessed or happy. And part of that being blessed and happy, of course it rests upon the Lord being among us, but part of it is us sticking with, coming together with the same vision. Can I use the example of tonight's meeting? And for the past few weeks, we've all been looking forward to that for obvious reasons, for fellowship, for encouragement, but that unsaved people may come along and listen to the word, testimony, and be saved. We have the same vision. We have the same vocation. Our aim is fellowship in the Lord as a church and seeking to be evangelical and reaching out to others as well. Same vision, same vocation, and folks, the same voice. And what a blessing it is when a congregation, and I believe that we do know this blessing in some degree here, certainly in Ackley, all our congregations would strive to have this blessing. And the title of the message this morning is a blessed people or a happy people. A blessed people being a blessing. And to look at that, we're going to look here at Asher. Of course, when we think of tonight, we want to encourage people to come along this evening and make them feel that we haven't got them here just as a seat filler, but we're glad to have them, that we genuinely wish to be friendly with them, and we have their best interest at heart, whatever their need may be, that the Lord would meet their need. And a blessed people being a blessing. The first point here is a very, very short one. And then the others will be just a little bit longer. But don't worry, I won't keep you over, hopefully over the usual time. By the way, this is my watch. This is what I'm down to. A quiet phone. My watch, the one that I usually wear, the battery went flat, or was done. And I used the other one for 2 weeks, and it's done now too. So I've got this, and the glasses broke, but I can still see the time. So we hopefully get you out on time. And the first point here is recognition.
recognition. If you look there in Deuteronomy chapter 33, it says in the middle of the verse, let him, this is concerning Asher, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Asher were a people who did engage and confront the enemy, but not each other. They got on well together and they were acceptable the one with the other. It's very, very easy sometimes to get on with people who, with whom we have an awful lot of things in common, and then maybe a similar personality, and it works really well together, but we don't all have the same personality. And we don't all have the same interest, and yet it's so important that we recognise that we're all acceptable one to another. I'm not saying in any way, and please don't misinterpret what I'm saying, I'm not saying that if you're involved in gross sin, we just overlook it. Or if I'm involved in it, that you overlook it. I'm not saying that we say that we agree with something doctrinal point that we don't agree with. Can't do that. But I'm saying that in a congregation, recognition of, you see, unity is not uniformity. And therefore it would be a boring world if we were all the same. And I'm saying this because in the world, not just in church life, but in the world, some people struggle with this individuality thing. And I remember one time being at, I was actually at a clay pigeon shoot, and I was talking to a man, he was a police sergeant, and there's another fellow there, and he was complaining about something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was about another individual who'd been involved. He wasn't there that day, but at the clay pigeon shoot. And the sergeant, he turned around, he said, but you know, he's not a Christian. He says, that's just individuality. It's just individuality. And I said, that's right. That's what it is. So when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he knew that the people there would have to recognize, we need unity here, but it doesn't mean we've all to be exactly the same. And he says to them there, in Ephesians chapter 4, while he talks to them about one body and one spirit in verse 4, verse 3, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Good teamwork. And that is something that we've been greatly blessed with in Akalee through ups and downs. And it hasn't always been the same every year, but every year there has been teamwork. And that has been so important for the work. And the apostle here, he's writing to these folk, seeking that they would not grieve the Spirit of God in verse 13. But then he says about how they are to work on this teamwork. And this, how they're to recognize their differences. It says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There must have been some, or he wouldn't have said it. There must have been some there, but he's trying to help them. And then he says, and be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. A bit of kindness goes a long way. A kind word does an awful lot of good. And we do thank the Lord that we often receive kind words and we try to give them as well. But it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And certainly when you consider what the Lord has done for us, how different we are from Him. How different we are from Him, and yet he calls us His friends. And He has saved us for eternity. And if a blessed people are to be a blessing, there is to be a recognition. Unity, yes, so, so important. But please don't expect us all to be the same. I'm sure you won't, but that is a very brief point to begin with. It says here, let him be acceptable to his brethren. He was. But there's not just recognition, there is attraction. Look there in verse 24 again. It says, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Asher's, the tribe of Asher's inheritance was Mount Carmel. And on Mount Carmel, there were olive groves. And there was olive oil there, olive berries. They were crushed. and they were used in anointing oil. And that is symbolic. There's a picture here, of course, of the work of the Holy Spirit, where it says, let him dip his foot in oil. Maybe you've wondered what that meant, or what was the significance of that, and I sure shall be iron and brass. Well, if you look there with me, please, in the Psalm 133. Psalm 133. We'll try not to stay with this psalm too long. Keep an eye on the time here. But we could talk about it for a long time. It says in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can I say there that the word pleasant is a word that in the original that was used to describe music when it was in harmony. Now, I was leading the meetings, the boats this morning, the singing, and sorry about that. But I did do my best. I just wouldn't be the best one to get if you want harmony all the time in your music. But you know what harmony is in music. It's good. And that's what the word pleasanter means. The background to it, it refers to harmony in music. It also refers to a field of corn blowing in a soft wind. Have you ever stood and looked across a field of corn and how lovely it is? And almost therapeutic just to look at it blowing there. In the wind, it's a very pleasant thing. Lots of meaning of it as refers to that as well. It also refers to the sweetness of honey. I was asking Cherith in the car this morning, did you take any honey before you come out? Honey. And she, I think she forgot, but you know how sweet it is. And certainly when we were wee boys, we used to take toast on our honey instead of honey on our toast. And it was dripping out and down her arms and off the end of her elbows, but didn't really care, as long as we got the honey. Well, that word pleasant also refers to the sweetness of honey. I'm sure I've said enough to have you understand that it is a word of great meaning. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. And the word dwell there means it's in a continuous tense, together in unity. And the unity there, I think, probably as well as anywhere else in the Bible, is brought to our attention through Abraham's attitude with Lot. Lot wasn't always easy. Abraham loved him, and there had been a bit of going back and forth between the men who were with Lot and those who were with Abraham, and there's a danger of friction there and that kind of thing. And Abraham very kindly said to Lot, he instructed Lot to take whatever piece of land he wanted, to go whatever direction he wanted when they were going to separate. You take what you want and I'll go the other way. He didn't want any row. Now, we know that Lot totally chose totally by what he could see. And ultimately, in the long term, it was not a good thing for him because there was nothing wrong with the land. He just wasn't able to handle everything that came his way. By way of blessing, or way of encouragement, and material blessing, and so on. But that is a psalm that talks about the importance of this unity. But look what it says. It says, it is like, in other words, the unity is like, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. If I can stop there, you will see that when you're looking at the oil here that was used in anointing, it also talks there about, when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 33 about feet. I'll just read what it says there. It says it covers the whole, goes right down to the bottom, the skirts of the garments. But in Deuteronomy 33 and 24, let him dip his foot in oil, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Let him dip his foot in oil. Now, the thought is very clear. The thought is of his walk being an anointed walk. His walk being an anointed walk. Let him be one that would leave a positive mark wherever he goes. Way back when I was a lot younger and in Dungannon, I remember the Sunday school superintendent, when it came to the end of the Sunday school year, he always had a little word of encouragement for those who were now moving on to Bible class from Sunday school. He always had their greatest interest of heart, took a great interest in them. But he said to them, he said, whatever you get in life, and I hope you get that which is good, and there will be much that you don't get in life, but whatever your situation is, remember that wherever you go, for as long as you go, you put down markers. And so it is. You put down markers as you go along. And obviously the words here would show us that Asher was to and did put down good markers. There was an attraction about them. That's what I'm saying. Their walk was a walk with the Lord. They were had the presence of the Spirit with them, and as they put down markers, it was that which would be of an attraction to others. If you look there again at that Psalm 133, I hope I didn't turn you away from that Psalm. It says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And that's what we're looking at. A blessed people being a blessing. You and I know, even if we didn't know it in the congregation, and we do, but if we didn't, we know it as individuals, some of us, what it is to be personally blessed and to feel in blessing. And when that is the case, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to share it with others and you want them to be blessed. I mentioned to you what happened in Armagh as a result of witnessing the shop, my sister feeling blessed, and others there too. But wanting to share it with others, even with those who have a very difficult background, but remember that the Lord can save all who will come to Him. And you want to be a blessing to others. As a Jew upon Hermon, the thought there is the Jew falls on high and low ground. But the thought here is of refreshing. Refreshing. There's something refreshing about a great unity among people. You find yourself having a wish to be there. If you're out in the ordinary, in the round, in the common round, if you want to call it that, you have that desire in your heart to be among the people because there's an attraction there, there's a unity there, there's a gladness there and a blessing there, and you just want to be there because it refreshes your soul. And that is the ideal situation. And we're always looking, we're always aiming for that. Thought here of walking. Let me mention regarding Asher there, let him dip his foot in oil. His feet shall be iron and brass. The thought there is of being able to endure. When you walk a long way, in those days, when you walked a long way, you get sore feet, obviously. And oil often is poured on your feet to soothe them. And the thought is very clear. Again, we're looking here at the Holy Spirit again as the comforter. Through your journey in life and mine, sometimes we can become weary doing a lot. And understandably, I suppose, humanly speaking, we can become weary. But it is at that very time that the comforter, the Holy Spirit, comes along and pours the oil of gladness into our hearts. And gives us a deeper love for the Lord. Maybe it's in a time when you've been disappointed in trying to do something for the Lord. And maybe you thought somebody was listening. They don't really want to hear you anymore. And you're a wee bit hurt. And you feel that you're not maybe doing it right. And you're just a little bit down because of that. Well, remember Him who is the comforter. He can come along and bring that freshness and that refreshing to your heart. And when that refreshness, that freshness and refreshing comes to your heart, and there is an attraction about a church that's in blessing. There's no question about that. When true revival comes, God comes along and He revives His church, and then other people see. Other people see and they think, well, you know, maybe this Christianity is real after all. Maybe there's something in it. And I don't mean to keep on mentioning the shops. I can mention Bandridge, where Audrey and Robert here helped out many, many times in that shop. A great witness. People who walk past, you don't think they're even looking at the shop. They're reading the signs. I saw them doing it. I saw people when I was there in Armagh whispering to each other what it said on the sign about let the Bible speak and so on. And there wouldn't have been people who would naturally have been interested in that, but people knows what's going on and they watch. They watch and we want to be a blessing. We want, of course, we are firm in our stand for the Lord. We can't change what we believe. And we love, there's things that we hold dear in our own country here, and we won't change that for anybody either. But the church, as best we can, we want to be winsome. Winsome. And Asher here, he's acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his feet in oil. Let him walk an anointed walk. And then there'll be something about him that will be attractive. There's a thought here of recognition that they were all unity, but not uniformity. There was attraction, but there's also the thought of protection. Again, if I can just mention it briefly, I've already touched on it in verse 25. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The rough road there, with the stones. I want to just at this time turn to Psalm 91. People may be on a long journey and have to be at a certain place at a particular time. Well, maybe the Lord is leading you continually and you're trying to live for Him and witness for Him. And maybe it's in a place where you feel, well, I could be hurt by what people say. And maybe, like some of you find yourself giving out invitations in a place that could potentially lead to you being physically hurt. Not that I'm advising you to do that. Always be careful. But it says here, this is a psalm of the one that's sometimes referred to the psalm of the secret place. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word there, abide, is a word that means to pass the time of darkness or to pass the night. And it is the time of night and the time of darkness that always is associated with danger. So if you look on down the psalm, and we'll not take time this morning to go through it all, you will see there that there's care in verse 3, there is covering in verse 4, he'll cover thee with his feathers. There is courage in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. And then there's conquering in verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why not? Because the Lord can protect you. And look there in verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. And brethren and sisters, he has set his love upon his church. And in accordance with his will, and as I've often said before, sometimes people, there have been martyrs, lots of them. But other people have been spared in the most unusual, dangerous circumstances in the providence of God. The important thing is to be walking with the Lord. Remember that James, the brother of John, was killed. Peter was next. Peter was released from prison. Why? I can't explain it all. Both men were in touch with the Lord. They were leading the Lord on. They were leading in the Lord's work. The Lord protected Peter because he had more work for him to do. This protection was so important for Asher. And it reminds me that when they have these feet of iron and brass. You know what it says? Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. The thought there is being able to endure no matter how rough the terrain was. Of course, it reminds us that we can advance in spite of obstacles. What about toughness? Tough days. comes. Some people are really glad to see you when you come to the door. Quite a number now that are not. If you're knocking doors or talking to people. Toughness. What about in their experience here, those that would actually seek to, through their words or through their action, bring harm to the work? The Lord is able to protect it. People should never say anything against the Lord's work or His cause. Over there in the Song of Solomon, we have a beautiful picture, of course, of the bride. It's Christ, or the church, and the bridegroom. It is the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 17. It says, until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, be thou like a roar, young heart upon the mountains of Beather. The word turn there is the thought of His refreshing presence. And that's what we're looking at. His refreshing presence being with us and giving us attraction, but when His presence is with us and He's guiding us, then it doesn't matter who the enemies are. He's able to protect and to advance His cause. I have one other thought here just now. It is the thought of dedication. It says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the word strength, there's a very interesting word. It carries the meaning of a person having wealth flowing to them. Plenty of the word would like that. Maybe sometimes we'd all like it a little bit. But the thought is of having wealth flowing towards them. That's what it means. So shall thy strength be. The problem with me is I want to know about tomorrow's strength today. And next week's strength today. It doesn't say that. It says here, and as thy days. We've got tomorrow's strength tomorrow. And next week's strength next week. And this is just a thought to leave with you there. Daily strength, folks, for daily need. You look out in the world today and what we're trying to do to be instruments in the hand of the Lord. Who's able for these things? Who's able for these things? As you did tell the congregation that I would be the interim moderator for Mount Marion, I've put a time limit on it as far as I'm concerned. I'll do my best to try and get sorted out with the minister. There's no guarantee at all that I can do that. But I will try, and I do be down then on Tuesday nights, prayer meeting and other times. But on Tuesday night, pastor speaking to a couple of people who were long associated with the Lisburn congregation, but they moved away down to Belfast now, and they're going to Mount Marion. And they were talking about the mission and getting people in and how it's so good to get people in. But people so hard. People so hard. People so hard in their hearts when they not come and trust the Lord. And in all of that, as I guess our so shall my strength be. Keep on going. Times whenever there doesn't seem to be much heart reception of the word. People will come and listen and say, oh, good message. Enjoyed being here. And that's always good. But we really want to see people change. Born again of God's Spirit. And dedication here, as ideas are, so shall thy strength be. We could talk on that. We need praying strength every day. Sometimes we struggle a little bit. We need strength to obey every day. Follow the Lord. We need strength to resist temptation every day. Dedication is a word that's associated here with Asher. We're looking here, you see, at a blessed people being a blessing. That's what we want to be. I've one very final thought here, and that is provision. Maybe you would turn in the book of Genesis, please, to another reference there to Asher. It says regarding Asher, verse 20 of Genesis 49, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainty. Well, maybe you're wondering, well, what does this mean? Well, the same root for royal there is the root word for peace. Peace. It says, he shall yield peace. And the word dainties there is a word that means that for something to be a delight. He shall yield peace that will bring a delight to men and women. And that is what we want to be able to do. To show peace among ourselves, that we have peace with God, and to show them how they can have peace with God too, that they will repent and come and trust the Lord. And as you look at Asher, and we've just really skimmed the surface concerning Asher here. Asher was those who provided food for the king. Doesn't it say there in that verse? Verse 20, out of Asher his bread shall be fat. In later days there was that providing of food. God used him in that way. And that says to me and to you, serve just where you are. In your work or in your home. You're not there by an accident. We have here, I'm sure you think of Joseph. Joseph's a blessing everywhere. It's a great blessing in Potiphar's house. But it's a great blessing in the prison. It's a great blessing to his own people from home later on when he opened the storehouses for them. And the thought of a fruitful field and so on, there's other references we could turn to here. The lesson is this: God has placed each of us in a potentially fruitful field. Doesn't matter where it is. Philip went down to the desert and he ended up in a fruitful field. As I mentioned, Joseph in prison, it ended up a fruitful field. With those in high authority, it was a fruitful field. And you and I can be, as he was, a blessing because we are blessed. The question we want to ask ourselves is this: are we blessed, happy in the Lord, feeding upon him and his word, fellowshipping with his people, enjoying Christ? I just want to say, as we come near to an end, I do, and I mean this, I do trust that the Lord will save all of us from a wasted life. A wasted life. And I am saying that because a person said to me one time, and they weren't young anymore, and they said, you know, as I look back after all these years since I got saved, they said, I've really done nothing for the Lord. Could have done so much more. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And I trust, as you remember Asher, please do think of Asher, and think of being blessed, and think of being a blessing to others. A blessed people, being a blessing to others.